Okay, time's up. Simple example I give when I give the full talk on mistakes is we have a back driveway that has some holes in it, ruts. So it's easy to drive along and bounce, you know, hit the hole. Driving along and there's just a couple of holes which are easy to hit. So if we're committed to this principle of not making the same mistake twice, when we hit that hole the first time, we say, okay, how can I not hit it in the future? It's just a natural response. You know, we've cultivated that quality in us to admit immediately, okay, I made a mistake. How can I avoid making it again? So, because we don't have any emotion that goes along with the idea we made a mistake. Yeah. You know, if we still have that emotional reaction, we feel bad, then we can't be self-reflective and feel bad at the same time. You know, if we feel bad, I shouldn't have done that. We lose the chance to be immediately self-reflective. But if we've replaced that with being self-reflective and committed to avoiding it in the future, then it's a natural reaction. We hit the hole in the road and we say, there's a hole in the road. Okay? From now on into the future, I'm going to drive on the other side of the road when I get to this point, and therefore not make the same mistake twice. So that's a commitment to improving our behavior. That's a wonderful commitment, and it's taking advantage of this principle of learning from our mistakes by totally changing the attitude that we shouldn't make mistakes. You know, part of what I tell people when they write in and they say, I made this mistake, I've got this weakness. I say, well, if any of us were perfect, we wouldn't have been born in the first place. You know, the fact that we're born shows we're not perfect, we'll make mistakes. So we need to anticipate making mistakes, and then when we do, you know, go through the four steps, apologize if necessary, do penance as necessary, but for certain, learn from it so we can at least try to avoid doing it again and hopefully successfully avoid that. Okay, so as our last example, we're using the yamas and niyamas, Hinduism's code of conduct, these 20 principles, as a reference point for improving our behavior, becoming a more spiritual person. And so yesterday we were looking at the yama of non-injury and harnessing the tendency to injure people. So the niyamas are the opposite. The yamas we want to do less of. You know, we're trying to master them, whereas the niyamas we want to do more of. These are religious practices that we want to do more of in our life. So today we're looking at the yama of dana, or giving. So dana is to be generous to a fault, giving liberally without thought of reward. Approach the temple with offerings. Visit guru with gifts in hand. Donate religious literature. Feed and give to those in need. Bestow your time and talents without seeking praise. Treat guests as God. That's Gurudeva's explanation of dana. So here's some examples. First example. Near where a family lives, there is a Hindu temple where they worship regularly. Every time the family visits the temple, they are always sure to put a generous offering into the temple hundi. The family also regularly visits a swami at his ashram that is nearby. Each visit, they are sure to bring a cash offering, dakshina, as well as an offering of flowers and fruits. Second example, an orphanage sends its staff to visit certain families once a year to ask for a donation to help feed and clothe the orphans who live there. As the request is only yearly, the husband makes an especially large donation once a year. Third example, a wife is very conscious of the principle that the guest is God and when guests are in her home, always invites them to stay and join the family for the next meal. Fourth example, a Hindu society prints religious literature which it distributes free at all the major festivals. Each piece of literature is sponsored by a different family and has their name on the back. Certain members of the society regularly sponsor these pamphlets each year as a way of spreading knowledge about the Hindu religion. All of the niyamas focus on expressing the refined soul qualities within each of us. In the case of dana, giving, the divine quality we are expressing is giving to help others without any thought of reward, such as recognition or future favors. So sometimes people give for one or both of those reasons. They're giving as long as their name will go up on a plaque on the building. You know, I built this building, recognition. Or they're giving as a barter. Well, they're doing something nice and they're expecting something back in the favor there. They give to the temple and then the temple buys from their business or something. So those kinds of, that kind of giving isn't really the spirit of selfless giving. So dana, or true selfless giving, effectively lessens the instinctive tendencies of selfishness, greed, avarice, and hoarding. So that's important. We're born selfish, and we have to work at becoming less selfish. And the less selfish we are, the more spiritual we are. But there's an innate selfishness in being a human being, and we need to overcome that. And one of the ways of overcoming it is giving things away. Because there's a tendency, everything we get, we cling to it. It's mine. I may need it. But giving things away helps overcome that instinctive self-centeredness. Selfishness, greed, avarice, and hoarding. So here's a story to further illustrate dana. A devotee worshipped regularly at a temple. There were always a number of beggars outside the temple, and the man would pass by them purposefully ignoring them. One day he felt compelled to give some money to them. He noticed that afterwards he felt uplifted by this simple act. From then on he would always be sure to give to the beggars before entering the temple, and each time he felt the same upliftment. This joy he felt in helping the beggars inspired him to start a monthly mass feeding at the temple, which the beggars and others who live near the temple now attend each month. So here's a list of different forms of giving. Sometimes we think of giving as only related to money, and therefore we can only afford to give so much money, so we only give so much as we can afford to. But there's many other forms of giving that don't require any money or require very little money. In the modern world, the most common form of giving is a gift of money. We make cash gifts whenever we visit temples and ashrams. We can also make something with our hands, which is an in-kind gift. For example, we have a carpentry shop at home, and on weekends make furniture that we donate to orphanages and homes for the elderly. So that's in-kind giving, where we make something. Third form of giving is giving our time. That's free. We help out at the local temple by cleaning the floors and other areas once a week. Another form of giving is imparting spiritual teachings. We purchase religious literature and give it away during major festivals, Yana Dana. A fifth form of giving is religious feedings of the masses called Anayagnya, or simply Yagam. We sponsor a monthly Yagam at a large temple in our city, covering all the costs. Another form of giving is providing hospitality to guests. We offer them a seat and serve them a beverage and insist they stay for the next meal. So this is our last self-reflection here. We want to take 5 minutes and list some ways in which we can increase our giving. As I say, it doesn't have to involve money. Giving time, for example, is one way we can all give more. And the more we're able to give to others, the less selfish we are, And Gurudeva has a wonderful statement about happiness. He ties that in quite nicely. He says, if you want to be happy, make others happy. You know, it's that simple. The more selfish we are, the more prone to unhappiness we are. But a simple way to experience happiness is just to make others happy. So, let's take 5 minutes and see if you can figure out some ways, practical ways in which you can practice giving. Increase your practice of giving without emptying your pocketbook. Okay, time's up. So, it's time to conclude. Got 5 more minutes left here. So, the overview of our initial talk and our 2 classes is that the guru's job, Gurudeva likes the word job, the guru's job, as he would say, is to encourage you to try harder and make some suggestions as to how you can do that. That's his job, is to never let you just sit there and be content with what you've achieved, but continually strive to achieve more, become a more spiritual person. And the yamas and niyamas are very useful points for looking at our behavior, as we suggested, once a year to look at them closely when they come around in the Living with Shiva lessons, starting in last part of April through toward the last part of June. Every year we have a natural opportunity when we get our daily lessons on the yamas and niyamas to look at it and see, you know, gee, how can I improve? In what small way can I do even better than I am now? So just those 20 principles offer a lot of guidance in becoming a more spiritual person. And then we also look briefly at fulfilling vratas as a wonderful way for doing that. And then the very important principle of learning from our mistakes, what to do when we make a mistake and how to use it as something to improve our behavior rather than to make us feel bad about ourselves. So we'll be continuing this subject. Any of you who are going on our India Inner Search will offer lots more. We're just scratching the surface here in a couple of hours and work out a more detailed and comprehensive presentation which touches all the major areas for the Inner Search. And it's a very easy Inner Search for India. India can be a very difficult country to go to if we go on a traditional pilgrimage. A lot of hardships involved, but this is not that. It's not a cruise ship, but somewhere in the middle between a cruise ship and a hardship pilgrimage. Going to the nicest hotel in Madurai and staying there for about a week. Then the second nicest hotel in Tanjavur. So that we can avoid as much traveling as possible. It's very tiring in India when you're constantly changing hotels every day or two. A lot of energy goes into that. So we're trying to stay in one place for 7 days, I think, in the first instance, and about 5 days in the second instance, and visit all the temples around, plus have a balanced program of classes in the morning, temple visits either in the morning or the afternoon, and then a cultural program in the evening. We're going to present a variety of cultural experiences, different forms of dancing and singing and Vedic chanting are some of the items that are on the program. So that's something to look forward to. And we have next Guru Purnima also for here. So thank you all for coming and coming to the class and working on yourself. You feel you're a better person.